Speaker, how long has it been since you heard a politician get up and speak at a church? It doesn't happen much, but Children's Church. Children, we've got some teachers just ready to go. Bless you, ladies. Children, run for the door. All right. A politician, Kevin White, is the mayor of Mineola. He ran against Lucy Hebron for district attorney, county judge. Thank you. Lucy has been in our service. She has spoken at Wreaths Across America many times. And so we know her. And I just sent her a text and I said, "Are you sad that you lost to Kevin?" And she said, "No way. It is a burden lifted." So Kevin is the one that is now the county judge. And Kevin, let me just say a little bit about him. Here's what I found. You know, you do a little bit of search on Google, you can find all kinds of stuff about people. I haven't cleared this with him, so I'm going to read what I found. And he's quoting, "I'm a longtime local educator that retired as principal of Hawkins High School in 2015. I spent 30 years in education, with the last 15 at the administrative level. After retiring, Kevin has worked as a landman, also became a realtor, works with Trophy Creek Property Company. He is a fourth generation resident of Wood County. As a county judge, he graduated from Mineola High School from East Texas State University with a bachelor and master's degree. He has postgraduate work as well. He serves as vice president for the Wood County camp of the Gideons International." That's why he's here with us today, for his work with the Gideons. He is a trustee at First Baptist Church of Mineola, and we'll forgive him for that. I'm totally teasing. And works there as a deacon and treasurer. He has a wife, Lori, a second grade teacher in Mineola. He has three children and two grandchildren. Is that up to date? Three grandchildren? Grandchildren. So you're not still having children. You're having grandchildren now. I've just got to clarify this, you know. And so Kevin is with the Gideons. Kevin, come on up and speak to us. He told me, give him a hand. He told me he may not go the full 30 minutes, and I said, "That's no problem. I can always," what? Oh, I know where that came from. All right, if we have time left, I have a microphone down there. We will have a question and answer time. Kevin, come and speak to us.
Thank you for, it's always a blessing and for an opportunity to come forward to a church and give a Gideon report. What I want to talk about today is the impact Gideons are making not only locally, but at the international level. What I want to start off with is asking a simple question. If you were given the opportunity, would you put a Bible in a lost child's hand? That's the simplest question we ask. You know, given the opportunity, if you saw a child in need of one of these, would you give it to them? And that's the mission of the Gideons, to reach the lost for Christ. It's as simple as that. Now, I'm going to talk about several things today as far as what we're going to be discussing. First, I always like to start off with, when I talk about Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. What I want to talk about is basically, you don't have to look it up if you don't want to. It says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing in which I sent it. What God said in Isaiah was, if you will put these Bibles out, the word will go out. Our problem is, as a society today, we're too much of a fast food industry. Order it online, Amazon, get it the next day, pray for prime shipping, and we're upset if the guy doesn't show up the next day with what we bought. But we don't understand God's timing when it comes to putting out God's word. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, go forth and make disciples of all nations. That's the Great Commission. So we as Christians are supposed to do that. So how can we? How can we go out and make this testimony to the world about Christ? Some people say, well, I feel awkward going out and saying something. I'm not going to stand in front of a group of people and deliver a sermon or the word. Some people step forth like you did with Vacation Bible School this week and contribute that way. Some people sing. Some people play in the piano. Folks, what we have to learn is everything you do within your Christian walk inputs and has influence over the world. Let me give you a statistic. When my dad was in school in the 1950s, 65% of kids he was in school with went to church. That's my wife. One thing about Dave, my wife just retired, but she's a second grade teacher. So in a class of 20 kids, that's 13 kids going to Sunday school. Today, that number is 4%. That's not even a kid out of 20. It takes two classrooms of 40 to make a kid and a half in Sunday school. And we wonder why we see the things we see on TV. And we wonder why we hear the things we do on the news. So, let's get back. Would you put a Bible in a lost child's hand? Because when I first became a Gideon, here's a Bible. I want to see your life change right now. Here's your Bible. I want to see your life change right now. And it doesn't work that way. One of the hardest things that happened when I became a Gideon was doing Bible distribution over in TJC, here in the middle of East Texas, TJC. Not too many kids cussed at me. Not too many kids said anything real bad. But when I went in the bathroom, they were polite. They may have been raised right. And they took a Bible. When I went to the restroom, I found six of them in the trash can. So we dug them out, put them on the shelf. And that really bothered me. Until I heard the story one time. We were having a rally and had a speaker from the Philippines come and speak to us. And what he said was, I was a taxi driver. And I found one of these New Testaments in the back seat of the taxi. And he goes, I had a plan. I was going to read that because it was in English. And I would learn some English so when I had my fares in the back seat of the taxi, I could talk to them. They didn't know where we were going. So if I engaged them in conversation, I could drive them around longer, make more money. So he started reading the Bible. And as he read it, his heart was convicted. To the point not only that he became a Christian, he became a pastor. So how many souls and lives were impacted because someone left a Bible in the back seat of a taxi? You see, we don't know what God's plan is for this Bible. I didn't know what God's plan was for those Bibles I dug out the trash can. And I don't know what God's plan is for the Bibles I distribute when I'm at a fair in town, or when they distribute them at the state fair, or when we go into all the fifth grade classes in Wood County, let us come in, all the schools do, and let us distribute to fifth graders. So we don't know. But I have to have faith, and I go back to Isaiah 55. my word will not return void. So that's when we go into a church and we say, we need faith and trust that the help that churches give us will do that. Other impactful things, stories that I have about the power of a Bible. One of my favorites is a story. We had a Vietnam veteran who's a Gideon come and speak to us one time. And he's, you know, he got drafted, and the day before he reported, his little sister, who was a fifth grader, had just gotten a Gideon Bible. And in the back, she gave it to her brother and said in the back, please come home to me. So he took that with him, and they're over in Vietnam, and he's getting with his platoon, and he began reading the Bible. And then all of a sudden, another guy would join with him, and another guy would join with him. And eventually, three or four guys and five guys in the platoon would sit down and read this Bible daily, reading the Bible daily. Well, when his tour was over, he went home. He said, I thought about those guys. He goes, 20 years later, I ran into one guy at the airport that was in my platoon. And they were catching up between flights. And he goes, well, what about so-and-so? And what about so-and-so? And he goes, man, I hate to tell you. He goes, about 3 weeks after you left, we got in a real bad firefight, and we lost about 12 guys. He goes, but you need to know, every one of them had given their life to Christ based upon that Bible we were reading. Again, because a fifth grade little girl gave a Bible to her older brother, the impact it made upon a platoon of men and save their souls. Again, my word will not return void. There's also other humorous stories a little bit. We have one of my friends who does prison ministry, because we distribute Bibles in the prisons. Did you know statistically more prisoners who become saved do not commit crimes above any other form of rehabilitation? No matter what they do, the ones who get saved in prison do not return more than any other type of rehabilitation. So he's distributing these Bibles, and this guy says, can I have one of those Bibles? And he takes it, and he's got it in his hand, and the guy goes, yeah, those pages in there make great cigarette papers. And he tells the guy, well, tell you what, I'll make you a deal. You can have the Bible if you promise to read the page before you smoke it. So the guy takes it. He says he visits him about 2 months later. And that guy goes, hey, can I get another one of those Bibles? And he goes, I can't let you tear up another Bible. He goes, no. He goes, I did what you said. I read that Bible. And soon I wasn't tearing the pages out. And he goes, I gave my heart to Christ. So he was saved one cigarette at a time. So we don't know, we can't take our humanness with this Bible. We have to trust what God's plan is with it. Another one that I really like is we have around the world, we have Gideons in 198 countries around the world. We print these Bibles in 100 languages. On your phone, you can download the Gideon app. The Gideon app, I'm sorry, my phone's blowing up with text, but I don't want y'all reading all of them. But on the Gideon app, you can read the Bible in 1,771 languages. I didn't even know there was 1,771 languages in the world. But you can read it. There's a language called Bam Bam. I've never even heard of Bam Bam as a language. But it's spoken in Indonesia, in the islands down there. But you can download that Gideon app and read that anytime you want to read it on your phone. So just go to the App Store, Gideon app. It's free. You can download the Gideon app. But getting back to the Bibles around the world, in the Cold War, there are Gideons in Russia. And in the Cold War, they wanted to distribute Bibles. And the Kremlin confiscated a case of them and said, no, you're not reading. They gave it to 20 generals and said, we want you to read this Bible to see if there's any propaganda in it. Sure, take them. Eight generals gave their life to Christ. We can't question what God wants us to do with these. We have to trust in what he's going to say and what it's going to do and how it's going to impact people's lives. We have to take that trust and put it out into the world. You know, we look at the things going on in our world today, but we also see the impact of prayer and the prayer and how it's manifested itself in this past week. But we have to trust God's plan on what's going to be continued with that. But we have to let people know. We have to let people read the Bible. We have to put it in people's hands. We have to put Bibles in hotel rooms for those people who are lost when they're traveling. We have to pass them out in the schools. We have to pass them out in the jails. We have to pass them out in the prisons. We have to pass them out in the hospitals. We have to pass them out in the nursing homes. We have to put them in the waiting rooms. We have a ministry for everything to pass out these Bibles, to put them in people's hands. When the Gideons began in 1908 to the year 2000, it took 92 years to distribute 1 billion Bibles. From 2014, we distributed our second billion Bibles in 14 years. And the demand is so great today that over 500 million have been distributed. People are craving God's word, and we have to get it to them. One of the things I like to talk about when it comes to the Gideons is maybe we are too old to go on a mission trip. But as I said a while ago, we have Gideons in 198 countries around the world. They speak the language. They live there. We're not having to send them anywhere. We're not having to feed them. We're not having to put them in a hotel. All they want is Bibles. And that's it. That is all they want is Bibles to pass out. And like I said, we print them in over 100 languages, so they're able to be distributed around the world. Now, how can you help us? There's different ways. One, and I didn't look to see, but we have what's called a Gideon card. These are free. If we don't have any here, I'll talk to them about bringing you out a Gideon card display. You got a Gideon card display? And what you do is you can write these in memory of someone, in honor of someone. There's different kinds of cards. And what you do is you buy Bibles by just putting that money in there and sending it in for a Bible. Out there on the table, I put these things because some people come to church and they don't carry cash. But these things have a way in which you can read a little bit about the Gideons, ways to give money. We have a little QR code for those people who are into the QR codes. That way, whenever I'm at a church that's full of millennials, I can make sure they can participate too. So there's a QR code. What we want to do, though, is we want to put these Bibles in people's hands. And that is our mission. That is our goal. Nothing else. 100%, every penny we get from a church goes into the purchase of Bibles. There's no overhead. There's no transportation costs. There's no, everything we do as a group of professional businessmen is paid for out of our own pocket to travel and go to churches. We do church rallies around the country, and we go to those churches and we speak for the different counties. I'm with the Wood County Camp, but I'll speak at several different, I think I've spoken at 12 churches so far in the past 6 months. So we go and talk to the people who are the church. That you are the church. And it's our responsibility, as Jesus commanded us in the Great Commission, go forth and make disciples of all nations. I kind of want to wrap up a little bit with a couple more things to share. We look at a world today that we have to make that impact on. But we sit there and say, well, I'm getting closer to the age where my impact is not as strong as it used to be. But yes, it is. Your legacy is. Your legacy is to make sure that the children of this world are prepared to face the burdens of it. I don't know if you've ever seen the what's called the fourth generation chart, where the great-grandparents are churchgoers, Their kids went to church occasionally. Those kids go to church somewhat or none at all. And their great-grandchildren don't know who God is. And we're coming upon the fourth generation, folks. That fourth generation is right over the hill. We have to make sure that we get Bibles in those people's hands. As you said, you had people, you had some children come to Vacation Bible School that didn't know what church was. I mean, I'm not talking about inner city somewhere else. I'm talking about East Texas. East Texas, America, and they don't know what church is. You know, so we've got to make sure our responsibility for our generations is to make sure those generations behind us have access to God's word. Their parents aren't bringing them to church. We've got to get it in their hands. But you'd be surprised when we have youth rallies and things like that, how receptive that generation is to taking these, if someone will just be able to give it to them. If someone just puts the Bible in their hands, they are so receptive to taking it. But we need y'all's help. We need your help to be able to go out to the world, to go into these other countries, to go into these inner cities, to go into these schools, and be able to make these distributions. Because you've never seen anything like them. I'm fortunate because in Mineola, when my wife was a teacher, we'd go do a Bible distribution, you know, and I'd see those kids in other places. And one of them's teacher caught me later on and goes, yeah, that little girl got that Bible and today during reading time sat and read that Bible. You know, didn't she said, I wasn't going to get on to her about not reading her book because she was reading her Bible. So I was going to let her read that Bible. So, like I said, they have a hunger for this. They have a desire for this. We just got to be able to feed them. That's all it comes down to, is being able to provide for what their needs are. When the service is over, Brother Mink asked me to stand in front. If you want to, I will have an open Bible if you'd like to make a contribution to help us. Like I said, the question I asked you earlier, if you were given the opportunity to put a Bible in a lost child's hands, would you? You're going to be able to help me today. I'll be down front when the service is over with. I'll have an open Bible if you'd like to make a contribution for us to buy more Bibles to give to these kids, to spread them around the world. Thank you.